Hi, this is Scott.
Hi, this is Pat.
Hey, we got a great program lined up. We're going to start talking a little bit about the current stock market and interest rates.
We also have a great guest speaker named Nancy Cullimer. She's going to talk about career transition and career coaching.
And really kind of semi-retirement careers. She's very interesting. And David Schauer, one of our advisors, is on to talk about an interesting client story.
And lastly, we're going to talk to a gentleman from Arizona that called in with a windfall profit on the sale of a property and wanted to know what to do with the proceeds.
And now, nationally recognized financial experts Scott Hansen and Pat McClain of Hansen McClain Advisors. It's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hansen McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hansen.
I'm Pat McClain. Thanks for joining us.
Glad you're with us on this fine day. We assume it's fine.
Yes. So if you're a first-time listener, this is a financial talk show, but not your run-of-the-mill. We don't think it's your run-of-the-mill financial talk show.
What is a run-of-the-mill?
Well, I tune to some shows and they're promoting product the whole time and, you know.
Well, some of them are just infomercials.
Investment schemes and, you know, how to get rich and all those. This is an interactive where we actually take your phone calls. We have guests on. We have financial advisors from our own firm actually sharing stories, real life stories about situations that you may find yourself in.
That's right. Both myself and Pat here, we've been doing this program for, we're almost coming up on our 1,000th show. We're looking at this, it's the next couple of months, we'll have our 1,000th show of
20 years
doing Hansen McClain's Money Matters. And it's been actually a little more than 20 years, but when you calculate some best of
reruns.
Reruns, really.
Yeah, we call them best of, but they're not really. They're just reruns.
Rerun the thing. Anyway, thank you for being part of the program, and we've got a great show lined up again this week. You know, the quietness in the stock market
eerie.
During the summer months this summer has been
eerie.
Yes.
Eerie.
August was like, and then we hit these new highs. Here's the thing.
And we've talked about this in previous weeks, and we'll continue to talk about this because there is great danger in the markets now. Great danger.
In the stock market, in the bond market,
in the real estate markets. This is the time where it's a good time to reassess your risk tolerance and your positions.
Your risks, to see how much risk you truly have in your portfolio. The funny thing is, as markets go higher, the risk increases, not the other way around. But we have a tendency to believe that it feels anyway, that as things go higher, there's less risk. We feel more comfortable.
The perceived risk, actually, people's perceived risk, when we're talking about behavioral finance, actually their perceived risk goes down the higher markets go because they're doing well. And remember, your investments aren't doing anything. They did something. The mere fact that you could measure your investments means that it has already occurred. And people have a tendency to take that thing that happened in the past and extrapolate that into the future. But if you are if you study any sort of history of any asset class over periods of time, you will see that they go ebbs and flows,
they
ups and downs.
And no one can predict right when the cycles are going to start or end. Nobody can.
But we do know that there are some underlying indicators in any asset class that would lead you to believe that you're closer to the end of a cycle than you are to the beginning, or than you are at the beginning.
Well, let's take the fixed income. You look at interest rates. 10-year government bonds yielding under 2%, somewhere between 1.5% and 2%, depending on the day, right? Under 2% a year. Someone goes and buys a bond like that today, which they are. And 30-year bonds are yielding, what, about 2.5%? 30-year government bond. People are...
they're lending money for 30 years at 2.5%.
That's right. That's exactly what's happening today. There is tremendous risk if and when interest rates rise.
Yes.
Their value of that bond, that 30-year income stream at, what, roughly 2.5% is not going to be worth very much.
And if interest rates drop, then the bond value goes up. So you have to ask yourself, what is the likelihood of interest rates going down further?
Or how much further can they go?
Or how much further can they go?
And then you look at, it's interesting. I mean, here at Hanson McLean, we spent quite a bit of time on research and looking at a variety of different markets. But if you just look at the, say, the broad stock market, S&P 500, companies are trading at valuations that we have not seen in years. Because what's happened, and I found this interesting. I had a friend said to me that, Scott, you must be happy. What do you mean? Well, the stock market's is doing well. And I said, well, I like it when companies' earnings are growing. I don't care what happens to the price. I know the price will follow long term. But if I need the company, just like if I owned a rental property, I'd be happy if I could increase the rents. That'd make me the most happy.
Because over time, if the rents increase, the property value will increase.
Of course. It's all predicated upon that.
And when you buy a stock, if the earnings increase over time, then the price of the stock will increase. What's a little bit scary about this market is the prices of the stocks have increased.
And their earnings have decreased, by and large.
So if you look at the broad markets, they're trading at a 24 to 26, what they call price to earnings ratio, which means that for
not forward looking, but
looking back. But what's it matter? Right? You've got flat earnings. Right.
Or declining earnings.
Your price to earnings ratio will go up.
Why did we both chuckle at that? That's not a funny thing. It's not funny.
So what it means is that for every dollar, think about it this way, for every dollar that you earn in that company, if you're talking about the broad market, you're paying approximately $25 for that dollar in earnings. So make it personal. You're going to buy a widget company, and this company's going to make widgets. Would you pay comfortably $25 for every dollar in earning? You might.
If you thought that they were going to be able to earn a lot more in the future.
If you thought they were going to, or if you think someone might buy this company from you and expect something less than a dollar in earnings for every $25. Yeah. They pay $30 for it. So the point being is this. When we spend some time on this is that.
Yeah, I mean, what's this mean?
This is risk. The higher the price to earnings ratio on the on broad markets, and we saw this in the .com. I was talking to
That was crazy times.
Yeah, they were
34 or something
around the mid-30s at the .com.
I tell you what, we have a few more years like we've had in the past. A few more years of rising stock prices and flat or declining earnings, we will be right back to where we were in 1999.
So this is the time. I know you're feeling great about the portfolio. I know you are, and I'm happy for you. I know you're looking at your 401k statement.
Been a much better year.
Or you're looking at
your
statement from your investment advisor, and you're saying, this is great. I am so happy.
Well, no one's saying it's not that great. This is pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's not great. It's not been a great year. It's been an okay year.
Step back for a minute and look at the risk side of it.
Yeah. If you are kind of nearing retirement age, whatever that might be anymore, but at that point in your life where you might start needing some income, now it's really important. And to have a good understanding of how much risk what did we just say? It's the thousands show? And Pat still has trouble.
I thought I had turned my phone off.
Silencing
his phone. I apologize. I'm a busy guy, Scott.
Oh, always busy, Mr.
I apologize.
You get two phones? Multiple devices?
All the time.
Or you have one device because you had your server at your email server at your home basement instead. So
that's not even funny. So, risk. Let's talk a little bit about these low interest rates, Scott. I found this article which I thought was pretty telling. And it was about companies in Germany that manufacture safes, safe for your home. And you're thinking, what's this got to do with personal finance? Well,
I saw this article too, Pat. I thought
it was pretty interesting. It's a little offbeat, but German savers are losing faith in banks and they're starting to just keep their money at home.
Well, part of it is the interest rates are becoming negative, right?
Yeah. So if you're going to earn zero or less than zero in the bank, what's less than zero? It's where they charge you to keep your money.
That's right.
This company, this safe company, they're running three shifts. They've increased their sales by 25% since 2014. There are waiting lists for people to get safes in order to, what they're saying they're buying them for is to keep money at home. And we're seeing it in large corporations in Germany. Munich Re, which is a large reinsurance company, said they had over 20 million pounds in cash in their safes. It's a big corporation.
That's amazing. They're a big corporation. An insurance company.
A reinsurance company.
How much cash in the bank?
20 million pounds.
They had 20 million pounds.
In the bank. In a
That's 28 million U.S. dollars, somewhere in there.
In
pound sterling in a safe.
Crazy. So, this leads to the next thing, right? Which is...
What's the next thing? Get a fireproof safe.
No.
If you think back, Pat, that remember the Oakland fire 25 years ago or whatnot?
Mm-hmm.
It got so hot that most of the home safes were not fire protected. So if you're actually thinking about this and thinking, maybe I should actually have a little bit of cash.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have a couple
twice about it.
Or you better be doggone sure that...
you bought the rights.
Remember you had a friend in high school that his...
Oh, yes. I had a friend in high school.
I think we told the story on this program before, but it's a pretty good story.
I had a friend in high school. His parents, his dad liked cash around the house. So what his dad would do is wrap it in butcher paper and then store it in the freezer like cuts of meat. Well, his parents...
Because you get breaking. No one's going to be searching.
No one's going to be searching in the freezer for
butcher paper for
stacks of
greenbacks.
There was cash and gold. And that's how his dad was sorted. He didn't tell anyone in the family about it. But his dad... So his parents went on vacation, left this teenager at home. The freezer quit working. All the meat stuff in the freezer rotted. He dumped it all in the trash. The kid did, the teenager. Tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yes. I remember I was a waiter at a restaurant. He came to work. He was like in tears. I asked him what was wrong.
How would you know?
I said,
his parents must have been furious.
It's not your fault. He should have had it labeled on their thing, gold or cash.
4,000 U.S. dollars in small bills. Please do not.
There is great danger in storing cash in your house, in a safe, or outside of a safe.
But I tell you, rates continue to go lower. We're seeing this in Germany. Rates continue to go lower. If it gets to the point here where your bank is going to start charging you, people will be either looking for safety deposit boxes to store. And there's some lawmakers that are starting to say maybe we don't need $100 bills. There was a big essay in the Wall Street Journal a week or two ago. Someone said we should get rid of the $100 bill because we've seen that in the 500 euro note, they're discontinuing the European Central Bank because they say that's where illicit
transactions happen. Naturally.
Yeah, but it's also not a good time when we're at negative interest rates and they're trying to limit our cash. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We got a great guest coming up, so you want to stick around to hear from that. And we have a great rest of the program, so stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766.
Hey, if you're listening to our show on podcast and you'd like to be a caller into the show, don't hesitate to give us a call
at
888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. You got it.
Yeah, we'll take your call. We record sometimes during the week, so we'd love to take your call.
Want more advice on financial matters? Check out moneymatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments, all on moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Pat, I must mention, as I heard the little promo guy coming in, Money Matters, information on taxes, insurance, I'm thinking... Well, that sounds exciting. How do I find that website?
Can't wait to get to moneymatters.com.
Anyway, we've got a great guest
here. You're listening to Hanson McLean.
And we've got a great guest. During this segment, we like to have on interesting people that talk about really the changing landscape of retirement. Because things have been shifting, particularly for baby boomers marching into retirement. A lot of them say they don't want the same retirement of their parents. Generation and just the way I think baby boomers approach life differently in lots of aspects, they are approaching retirement as well. And so we've got Nancy Calmer, who's an interesting person who spent a little time on our website beforehand and reading some of her stuff. She's a career coach, but author of Second Act Careers. So Second Act Careers, this is for those that are kind of in semi-retirement. And she's the founder of MyLifestyleCareer.com. And we'll have a link to at MoneyMatters.com for stuff. But Nancy, welcome to Hanson McLean.
Hi, nice to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us today as we're talking about financial matters. And so, what career coach? Give us a little background about your own path. So, you're a career coach, but you're also you wrote Second Act Career. So, it sounds like you specialize now with people at kind of retirement age. But has this always been where your focus has been? What's your own kind of journey?
Well, my own journey was I was in corporate HR for a number of years, and then at the point that I had my own children, who are now in their 20s and off and working, I went back to graduate school and got a master's in career development. And really for about the first 16 years in my practice, concentrated on the whole issue of moms who wanted to work on a flexible basis. And then at the point that my husband and I got into our 50s and the financial crisis happened, what I discovered was everyone around me who was in our same age bracket was saying, wow, I thought I was going to be able to retire. I'm looking at my 401k, and now I'm beginning to think, maybe I'm going to have to work part-time during retirement. And of course, the solutions and resources that I had discovered during my work with moms dovetailed perfectly with this demographic. And so I made the shift and wrote the book, and it's been a really, really fun journey.
That I think it's fascinating because just look at some of the studies. About 2 out of 3 baby boomers say that they want to continue some sort of work after retirement. And are you seeing that many of these people are working because they're kind of forced to after the financial crisis, the current economic environment, or because they want to?
Or a combination of the two?
It's absolutely a combination of the two. And what I always point out to people is what I call the 40-30 dynamic. And by that I mean most people are probably going to work in their primary careers about 40 years, early to mid-20s to about early to mid-60s. In the old days, it used to be that at that point you retired, you had maybe 10, 15 years in retirement. But now, given longevity statistics, most people can expect that they are going to be, quote-unquote, retired for the next 30 years. And that is a lot of hours to fill, and it's a lot of years to fund. So it's a combination of both. It's interesting because I have a newsletter, free newsletter on the site. And when people subscribe, I ask them if they would send me just a little bit about their situation and what interested them in the site. And I continually hear from people who say to me, just today I got one from a woman who said, I'm 57. I thought I was ready for retirement. It was fun for about 6 months, but quite frankly, now I'm bored. So people are looking for meaningful ways to fill that time.
So let's talk about, do you find people completely reinventing themselves or going on to slight tangents of actually what they did during their, let's call it their full-time working careers versus a second act career? So is there a perfect example? Your second act is your second act, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your second act was your second act career's book in this whole.
So, but it's all takeoff on what her skill set was from HR the workplace environment.
So it wasn't a complete reinvent. It was a tangent of what you did.
Right.
How do people go? Is that normally a tangent or is it a complete reinvent?
It's a great question because, I think people in the media, myself included, because I write columns for Next Avenue, which is a PBS website, and for Forbes, love to throw around the term reinvention. And I am as guilty as next person of doing that. But, the fact of the matter is most people really don't do a total reinvention. What they do is they recycle and repurpose the experiences and skills and wisdom that they've gathered over 50 or 60 years and blend those with new interests into more lifestyle-friendly options. And when you think about it that way, that opens up a world of possibilities for people. So I'll share with you just a really quick example. I was talking with someone the other day, and she recently retired. She was a corporate attorney, loves to travel, and her husband also happens to be an attorney. And one of the things that they're doing now is they are looking into teaching English two attorneys in other countries. They've discovered that actually there's a market for that.
Oh.
It will give them the opportunity to travel, to spend some time living in other places, and getting to share their wisdom. So that's a perfect example of recycling and repurposing.
So, Nancy, it's interesting. So if you're just tuning in to Hanson McLean here, we've got Nancy Calmer. She's a career coach and author of Second at Careers and founder of MyLifestyleCareer.com. And here's my kind of question, because most people work for somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. And like what you just talked about sound like their corporate attorney now maybe kind of created their own sort of niche. How realistic is it for, if we look right now, if two-thirds of baby boomers say they want to continue some sort of work in retirement, how realistic is it, do you think, over the next 5 or 10 years that they're going to be able to find meaningful work that's also lifestyle friendly?
Yeah, I love that question, too, because what I am fond of telling people is it is not about finding a job necessarily. It's about filling a need. And, you know, we live in an economy where increasingly people are earning income through project work and through creating all sorts of different income streams. And so it's important for people to get away from this idea that the only way to earn income is by applying for a job with someone else. And, you know, I think that that can be a difficult concept for the baby boomers to grasp onto, because a lot of them have had those full-time careers with, you know, one or two employers. But that's the way we're all going to be working going forward. And so, you know, you might find a part-time job, but you might also piece your living together through a couple of different income streams. And quite frankly, that can be a lot of fun for people at this point. It also, in many cases, gives people the lifestyle flexibility that they'd really like to have.
And Nancy, so we've been doing this for 25 years. Scott and I have been doing this for 25 years. And I have always talked to clients when they were leaving corporate America, and I've reminded them, and they would agree. I said, you know, it's not that you want to necessarily retire, you just want control over your time, right? And you'll find these people will go on contract with a large, even the employers they left for 3 months or 4 months, but you don't see them signing up for a job again because they want to have control over, you know, I want to take a vacation for a month or 6 months. I don't mind working hard. Do you think that corporate America is adopting to this sort of concept of this contract worker, especially one that is highly educated and adds great value, not only great value because of their education, but their institutional knowledge?
Yeah, it's a slow process. And so what I see happening is that all too few companies are thinking creatively in terms of holding on to their valued employees and offering them those flexible situations before they exit. But that is counterbalanced by the fact that there has been a tremendous growth in exactly what you mentioned, professional temp agencies, where people who leave their job can then go either hire themselves out as a consultant or a project worker, or they might affiliate with an agency and get jobs that way.
Okay.
So I think it's a changing dynamic as more and more people leave and companies experience something of a brain drain. They're going to be forced to get a little more creative. So let's talk about this 2 years from now and see where we stand.
So in the minute 30 remaining, tell us the best story ever. Ever. That just will completely inspire us, truly, about someone that left this and started that and it was what they were meant to do.
Well, I guess my favorite story from my book is the story of Rabbi Bob Alper, who left his full-time job as a rabbi of a fairly large congregation in Philadelphia, and he became, ready, a stand-up comedian. And what I love about his story is that part of his work now is that he actually travels around the country to college campuses and other sites doing something called the Laugh in Peace Tour. He travels with a Southern Baptist minister and a Muslim cleric.
Oh my goodness. Isn't that great? That is a great story.
And what he said to me was, he said, Nancy, he said, I'm still doing God's work. I'm just doing it in a different way with a bigger smile on my face.
Oh, isn't that great? That is a great story. And that is in your book, Second Act Careers.
It is indeed.
You know what I think is interesting, Nancy? It's a scary time for a lot of people. The economic environment's a little frightening. The workplace environment's a little frightening. But at the same time, it's also some unique opportunities. The gig economy, is maybe it's called, for the, some of the younger people, has phenomenal opportunities for people retirement age. And we so appreciate you being a guest on the program and coming on here, Hanson McLean. And we'll have a link at Hanson McLean's website at moneymatters.com. If you just go to moneymatters.com, you can get a link to Nancy Collamer and My Lifestyle Career and how to get her book as well. So stick around for more Hanson McLean.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, visit moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Two guys, two brains, and one head of hair.
All right, that needs to change, by the way. This is Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
One head of hair.
I know.
Yeah.
Yep.
You teased me when we were, because Pat and I have been working together a long time. I used to have a nice, good head of hair.
You did?
Actually, in my hallway at home, I've got a, you know, our wedding picture.
Do you really?
Yeah, because I like it because people always laugh. Because they come and they go, it's right on the way to lavatory. So some of the guests over and they want to, and they're like, I always point it out.
I always laughed when I remember your second house. I went over there. You had this beautiful garage with all these tools hanging nicely in the place.
Hey, you guys were teasing me.
In the garage.
No, I don't remember.
Wanted
that.
To know if they were real or if it was just a photo.
We had I invited Pat as a guest to a party at my house. Usually guests should be kind to the host and whatnot. But all these guys are laughing, and I'm like, wait, what's up? I'm going to walk up, you know, and the joke's on you.
Yeah, it was a brand new house.
So we're on the deck in the back, and from the deck, you can look in through the window into the garage, and I had the pegboard with my tools hanging. Now, granted,
Beautiful.
I'm not too handy.
They had never been used.
And you guys were all laughing. You said, that's not even tools. It's just a picture of tools that Hanson taped up there. And from a distance, it looked like it could have just been a picture of tools. And it might have been less expensive just to buy the poster than to buy the tools.
But anyway.
So
that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. And I don't know why we're even talking about it.
I don't know. But
we have a new segment.
You know what I'd like to talk about is a real life experience. This is what they call segue.
So a
in
new
the radio
segment,
business.
What we are doing is going to be talking. Hanson McLean's got a bunch of advisors, 15 or 20 or something. I should probably know the answer, but great advisors on our team. And we are going to be talking once a week. We'll have an advisor. We'll have some sort of interesting planning session that something where they walked through a client.
A client
had this situation and they figured these things out and then made the
they helped them. And this is just an example. It's an example. So for everyone out there, it is an example of a real life client. But
That one individual.
It may not, according to compliance, be reflective of your interaction with our firm. So if you work with
past
us.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
you
may lose value.
Interest rates may vary.
We might be mean to you.
It might not be a good fit. We've got compliance sitting in the room. Can you give me a thumbs up? Have I said enough compliance? Okay. So the lawyers are happy. And the whole point being
We kind of joke about this, but the fact is every situation is unique. And just because we are able to solve someone's problem doesn't mean we'll be able to solve everyone's problem. Sometimes people come to us with problems and
they can't be solved, but most of the time we could work through them.
At least help them out. So we've got David Schauer join us. David has been actually a guest in this program as well, but been with Hanson McLean for 18 years. He actually came to us right out of college at UC Davis. And then since then, I've got his master's degree and certified financial planner and chartered financial analyst. And he actually has been leading our chief investment officer for the last number of years as well. So, David, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here. And I have to say that full head of hair since I was on hold here, I'm not quite sure when that was, but that was definitely at least 20 years ago.
Because you've been here 18. Thank you, David. Thank you. Very kind to you.
You're very welcome.
I'll remember this next time it's talking about. It's going to go in your personnel file. David, talk about a client situation, and you could change the name and some of the details. But give us just a situation of who you helped through what.
Sure. So this was someone fairly recently, or a couple fairly recently. You know, they came in for the first time, and we kind of talked about what they're looking to accomplish, and they were looking to want to retire somewhere within the next 5 to 8 years. He works in the private sector. She works as a teacher. And so we just started kind of methodically going through their overall situation.
And is that typical? Did someone come in 5 to 8 years before retirement?
Yeah, I would say that's fairly typical.
Right. And
sooner, but yeah, I would say that's kind of a sweet spot, if you will.
And for the listeners, we use a very defined process called the 7 personal decision points, which actually helps us understand client's particular situation and helps them understand it as well.
Here at Hans McClain, yeah.
Sure. So anyhow, as we went through this, their situation was such they've done a great job saving. So we've kind of determined, that they were wanting to put away more money in as many tax advantageous vehicles as possible, and thought they were up a kind of against the wall in terms of where they were currently. So they thought they had maxed out everything that was available, and we're just kind of thinking, well, we're just going to have to be taxed at our current tax rate and save that way. So in looking at things, we determined that basically they had an IRA, so just kind of backing this up for a moment.
And were they, just real quick, question, were their kids out of the house at this point, like past college age or whatever?
Yes, adults, yes.
All right, so kind of typical time frame, right? Kids have now finished school, the parents are like, all right, are pretty much self-supported, now we got to figure out a retirement.
And it's a sweet spot for savings. It's when you have the most disposable income for saving.
Yep. Yes. So their income was such that they were phased out of making any Roth contributions. And so in looking at everything they had available to them, the first thing I looked at is he had an IRA and he had an active 401k. She was participating in the 403b. Both of them were maximizing each plan respectively. And so the first thing I said was,
so they were good savers.
They were good savers, yes. The first thing was, let's go ahead and take your existing IRA and let's roll that into your 401k. And they were kind of, well, why do we want to do that? Well, what we're able to do then is maintain an open IRA for both of you, and make contributions now to those IRAs that are non-deductible, because once again, they're participating in their employer-sponsored plans. They're not receiving any sort of tax deduction for making IRA contribution at this point. So,
but because because they're both employed, they both could contribute to non-deductible traditional IRAs.
Yep, exactly.
But not Roth.
So correct, but we can't make contribution to Roth. So I said, let's get money into Roth, but in a roundabout way. So making contributions to each of those IRAs with zero account balances now, because we rolled them into their employer-sponsored plans, the existing IRAs that they had. So now we're looking at simply having a non-deductible contribution, immediately converting that over to a Roth, and the tax on the conversion is zero because they're not getting a tax deduction.
And David,
had you done this
to the regular IRA, and then they converted to a Roth IRA, there would have been tax implications. Do you want to walk us through that?
A large tax implication. Yes.
And tell us
most of it. I would say 95% of it would have been taxed.
So for the normal listeners, they're thinking, well, this is just gobbledygook. This doesn't mean anything. Just walk us through the nuances real quickly as to why it would have been taxed, making those contributions and converting.
Sure. So the IRA was comparable in size to the 401k. Both were mid six figures. And so if we were to make a $6,500 contribution to an IRA with, let's say, a $500,000 account balance, upon the conversion, we'd have to take $6,500 in a ratio, if you will, within the context of that 500,000. So when that conversion is done, we take 6,500 divided by 500,000, and that amount, that small percentage,
90% of it would have been taxed.
Greater than that.
But you could have just left it, made the contributions, and not converted them to the Roth, but the regular non-deductible IRA. Remember, you don't get a deduction, it grows tax deferred, and then it comes out taxed. But a Roth IRA, it grows tax deferred and comes out tax free.
Exactly.
So it's a nuance in the tax law that actually doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's not really in the tax law. It's the law structured a certain way.
Correct.
And you are within the letter of the law.
That's right. You're right.
And
so there's no one in
loopholes, legal loopholes, which is what good planning is.
And I would say, so this just continuing on here, so the next step was the amount of income earned by each participant was skewed more towards one than the other. So in looking at the one that was a teacher, she was fully funding her 403B. In some instances, districts also offer 457s, which is fairly rare that you see a teacher participating in both plans. So I stopped for a moment, and I went and research basically this particular district, and they had a 457 available to them.
That's unusual.
So what I suggested then was, if you don't mind where, you know, how the net income is coming in, you basically want to take the maximum amount that you could put into the 401k, including the catch-up, and the maximum amount that you could put into the 457, including the catch-up. It's one of those unique circumstances that you can do both of those as one participant. It allows you to shield that much more income at this point in time, because right now they're really in their highest earning years, their highest net income years. They will definitely be phasing that down in retirement. So to get as much tax deferral as possible and current deduction is very valuable to them. So in essence, we were able to increase roughly $37,000 in
tax advantage
preferential vehicles. Yeah. Yes.
Were they happy? Were they happy with that?
Very, very. And what was amazing is none of their existing advisors, nor any previous advisors, nor the other people that they were currently meeting with to in terms of their evaluation of where they want to go, had mentioned any of these things. So yeah, it was definitely appreciate it and eye-opening.
Well, thank you, David. I appreciate you coming on and sharing a bit of that story. And this is obviously no situations are exactly the same, but this is the kind of planning that Hanson McLean does for our clients. We're taking a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take some calls. If you'd like to join us, we have lines open right now to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. It's 1-888-2-HANSON. And you could have a question regarding anything financially related. Maybe how much should you be saving for retirement, or some other things you should be looking at, or are your investments correct right now? That's 1-888-2-HANSON, numerically 1-888-242-6766. This is Hanson McLean. We'll be right back.
To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
The wrong button. Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
1,000 episodes. Just figured I'd learn how to push those buttons. Right. Although we're not in the same studio we used to be for years. You know, we started, the Hanson McLean started our radio program at KFPK Studios 21 years ago.
Started at KSTE.
You're right. We started at KSTE. We were there for about a year. And then we moved over to KFPK Studios, and the studio that Rush Limbaugh started his program. Look where he went in 20 years. Look at us. I don't know. Currently today, we broadcast still on KFBK, of course, but we also on KOA in the Denver region and KGO in the Bay Area. But we broadcast out of the Hanson McLean Studios. We have our own studio here at Hanson McLean, and you can always go to our website to get a view of this program, or our Facebook page, Hanson McLean Facebook page. And I think sometimes we actually stream this.
Yeah, stream it. We stream
when
it
when we record the
when
program,
we record so, the show. So yeah. You can, and you go to Hanson McLean Facebook. You can find out. Put us. Well, I'm not allowed to ask you to like us, but if you want, you can
link
take our,
us.
You
link
can link
up.
Us or take a feed.
I
or
can't say it like.
But you can take the fee.
It's funny. It's just some of the. Well, it's not funny because a lot of these rules in the industry were created because there's crooks and thieves and dishonest people that prey upon innocents. So there's all kinds of rules, which is fine. But some of the rules are a little outdated, and it's these things such as You can't have testimonials. You can't have a client testimonial. So the question is, well, this is all before social media. Is asking someone to like you, is that then a testimonial?
Yeah. And we don't know the answer. So that's why we're asking you to go to our Facebook page.
And just be neutral.
Just be 100% neutral.
Can you do the thumbs up?
Don't either like us or unlike us. But put us on your feed, because we spend a lot of time. If you're in this zone 5 to 10 years away from retirement or retired, there's a lot of lifestyle things that we put on our Facebook feed. And anyway. So
that was kind of good, actually.
If you'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSEN. If you want to be on the air, 888-242-6766.
Let's talk to...
I've got one more plug. I do have this plug. We were told by marketing to make sure we plug our podcast.
Okay. You could have done it after the call.
I didn't want to forget. we're doing the little...
what the notes are
we
for.
Were plugging things.
That's hilarious. All right. Wayne, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Wayne.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
I received a distribution out of one of my outside investments, and I'm wondering in this market what you guys recommend on how I get it into my portfolio. It's about $650,000.
Where'd it come from?
From a real estate investment trust. I own three separate storage facilities that were bought out by a big company and
a roll up.
Cash. And yeah, and so that investment is no more, and it's all now cash.
What about the tax implications?
In a money market account. Yeah, that is going to be an issue. I do have a whole bunch of loss carry forwards. I haven't talked to my accountant. I still am involved in some real estate partnerships with a previous company that I was involved with. So it's I still have to calculate it. I have not paid taxes in years because of the depreciation and all that have been rolling off of some of these LLCs. So I am currently in the lowest zero bracket. We'll see, but it's possible I will have some tax implications.
Yes, so, and the recapture.
And the depreciation.
Yeah,
Wayne, I had lunch this week with a gentleman that actually brokers. He specializes in the self-storage space. And he said these things were going at a cap rate of 4. Did you find that was what the purchase price was?
I don't know. This was a group of literally about 100 bought for a total of $2 billion from this huge entity. So my three were just part of a small group.
Got it.
Well, congrats.
Well, I don't know what the total was.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And so what do you have as far as investments elsewhere?
I have about $3.2 million total in money market and mutual funds. That includes the $650,000.
And so you say money market and mutual funds.
What percentage of it is in the money markets and cash?
Yeah, that's you're probably going to have a cow on this because I'm retired now. I'm 56, but I'm retired, but I'm still pretty aggressive. Not pretty aggressive, very aggressive.
Well, you're pretty young.
78% of this 3.2 is in stocks, and it's pretty much just in a total stock market index.
Okay.
And then I've got this $650,000, which is about 20%. And then I've only got about 1% in bonds.
Do you have any debt?
I do need to do some major real. No, I own 4 homes, and those are valued. I just did a quick calculation at about $1.5 million, totally conservative. And I don't owe any debt on that. I have no debt anywhere else.
What's your annual income need? Your lifestyle need? How much do you need to spend? Well, need's a strong word. How much do you spend? I should say.
Yeah, right now I'm able to. I don't even need any income other than what I'm just kicking off as far as dividends from my investments. I am having my investments pay the dividends in cash. And then my rental income. These two of these homes are rentals, and so I don't have any other. I don't have any
kids at
I'm
home.
I'm not married. I have no kids. No.
Well, Wayne, you've done very well for yourself financially. No question about that.
Thank you.
I certainly couldn't recommend throwing those dollars into stocks right now, given the high allocation you have towards stocks. It sounds to me like you've had some good experience over the years. You obviously did with the storage units and these other rentals. If I were in your situation, I'd probably just sit on the cash for a period of time and wait for some opportunity to present itself.
I could not agree any more than what Scott just said. Just sit on the cash. What I would worry about, I'd worry about FDIC insurance if I had it in an FDIC account. I would make sure if it was
it's in my Vanguard money market account.
Right, you would get higher yields if you shop that money market. It's going to take a little bit of work, but you get higher yields if you shop that money markets or bank CDs, and it'd be worth the time for that sort of money. You most certainly could go to an online institution.
Now, if you said that you didn't, you've got a high percentage in stocks right now, so I certainly wouldn't want to allocate more money to stocks. Are there some other areas to look towards? Yeah, you've got quite a bit in real estate.
Sometimes things
are pricey right now.
I would sit
real
back.
Real estate's pricey. You saw the kind of multiple you just got paid, right?
Which is
crazy. Some real estate's going for cap rates of in the threes.
So I was having lunch with this guy, and I said, you're telling me, and he said, here's what's happened. He said, these large institutions are hunting for yield. So much.
Just like we all are.
That they're going out and raising money from investors, and then they're going in and buying things that have predictable cash flow.
That's right.
Such as self-storage. And you're a perfect example of that. So,
And they do a little bit of leverage. And
they
suddenly
take a little leverage.
Come up with a decent yield.
And the people that are investing are getting twos and threes, and there's a big story behind it and the whole bit. But if I were you, cash, sit on the cash, wait patiently. You're a patient man. Just based upon this conversation, you have patiently waited out market cycles before, have you not?
I am definitely one that I just ignore it.
There you go.
I just ignore it, and it goes up and down. And if it goes down, if I have income coming, then I'll actually buy some. But I have a short-term bond fund in my Vanguard. You don't recommend just putting it in a short-term bond.
You're gonna You're gonna get a higher yield actually out of.
I'd look at even a 1-year CD. Understand what the prepayment penalties are in case an opportunity comes up and you yank it out early. You got to pay a little penalty, but it still might be.
You're gonna get a higher yield on a 1-year CD or on a online money market account than you are gonna get in that.
Okay. And as a percentage of your overall net worth, when you add the rentals in, you're at $4.5 million, almost $5 million, and you've got $650 in cash, some of which is going to go to the tax man probably. That's not really that high of an allocation to cash, particularly in this market. So, hey, Wayne, glad you called. Appreciate the call. And again, if you'd like to be part of Hanson McLean, if you give us a call now, we will work on getting you scheduled for the next program. Our number to be part of Hanson McLean, you got a question like Wayne's, 888-2-HANSON to join the program, 888-2-HANSON. And as Pat was mentioning, our podcast.
Yes.
If you go to on iTunes, if you could search for Hanson McLean and you could subscribe right there, it gets delivered to your thing each week. And we would love to be able to help you out. So anyway, we're out of time, and we are here next weekend as well. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.
Hey, if you're listening to our show on podcast and you'd like to be a caller into the show, don't hesitate to give us a call.
That's
at 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. You got it.
Yeah, we'll take your call. We record sometimes during the week, so we'd love to take your call.